Energy has become the front line in the battle for tribal rights versus federal energy policy and private sector construction. The state of Minnesota and its residents are beginning a formal process to decide the future of the Enbridge pipeline. It's operated by Calgary-based Enbridge Energy Partners that wants to upgrade the pipeline and reroute it. The pipeline currently runs from Halleck, North Dakota, through Clearbrook, Minnesota, eastward to Superior, Wisconsin. And the switch will carry the oil across Ojibwe tribal lands. The nearly two dozen public hearings are meant to fully debate the value of tribal rights, energy safety, and prized jobs in a high-paying industry. Dan Crocker is a reporter for Minnesota Public Radio, covering the northeastern part of the state, and he attended one of the hearings in Grand Rapids, Minnesota last night. Dan, joining us from Duluth, can this process prevent a Standing Rock confrontation like we saw last year?
Well, that remains to be seen. I spoke to Winona LaDuke yesterday, who is one of the main opponents of this pipeline. She is an Ojibwe leader. She runs a nonprofit called Honor the Earth.
We've been very clear with the state representatives and the governor of Minnesota that if they approve this line, there will be tens of thousands of people in Minnesota. You know, a lot of us came from Minnesota and went to Standing Rock, and we certainly know how to camp. They should just have the courage and say, don't build it. We're worth more. You know, everybody wants to know what is happening now. After Standing Rock, what is happening now? And this is the next big battle.
Whether that remains to be seen, we will see. But there are a lot of parallels between this and the Standing Rock protests that occurred over in the Dakotas.
Why divert the pipeline and have it run onto Ojibwe land when we had such a difficult period of time with Standing Rock?
The route that Enbridge is looking at does not cross over any Indian reservation land. It does. What's contentious is it does cross over land that was once held by Ojibwe people, but was since ceded to the federal government in a treaty in the 1800s. The Ojibwe, however, maintain that they still have hunting, fishing, gathering rights on that land. And indeed, this land has some of the best wild rice waters in the state and really North America. And so wild rice plays a really touchstone role in Ojibwe culture. And there's a lot of fear that a potential spill would do serious damage to that resource.
And where is that rice harvested?
It's harvested on lakes and streams and backwaters throughout north central Minnesota.
So if any oil spilled into those lakes and rivers, it would be, boom, end of the harvest immediately.
For that year, at least. I mean, wild rice is very sensitive. And that's part of what this environmental impact statement, the study is looking at the different risks involved and potential effects on resources, but also socioeconomic impacts like jobs and so forth for building this pipeline.
Have not so much tribal lands, but have wild rice harvesters coexisted? Harvesters who aren't Native Americans in any way, have they coexisted with energy infrastructure and with a safety record that makes it possible to do both?
Yeah, that's what's interesting, John. There are currently five pipelines that Enbridge runs through this part of the state, and they've been doing it for over 50 years. They bring about 2.5 million barrels of oil a day currently. So wild rice harvesting has existed throughout the past, you know, several decades. As these pipelines have become more contentious, this has become much more heated, and the risk, you know, especially with what happened in Kalamazoo, Michigan, with the spill in the river there several years ago, there's just a lot of fear that something similar to that could happen here if this pipeline's allowed to go through.
From here on out, because of the effectiveness of Standing Rock, is virtually any energy decision on infrastructure, pipelines, et cetera, drilling, mineral rights, suddenly going to be on the table, even if mineral rights have been theoretically ceded to the federal government back in history?
Well, that's what it looks like here. I mean, the combination of climate change and the activism that's occurring around climate change with Keystone XL combined with this newfound tribal resurgence that we saw over at Standing Rock. I mean, those two factors together really suggest that this next battle, as Winona LaDuke called it, is going to continue.
Dan Crocker is a reporter covering northeastern Minnesota for Minnesota Public Radio. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.